Amen. Good morning. It's been a tough week. We lost a brother from among us this week. Wayne Azell has gone home. And that shocking event came without warning and has a family in shock. And the church is stunned to see a dear, loving, warm, faith-filled man gone from among us. We praise God for his life and thank God for him. And Jeff, thank you so much for being so clear in showing us that in Christ, he turns all kinds of things upside down. In Christ, death leads to life. So therefore, we have nothing to fear. In Christ, we have nothing to fear. Nothing. Nothing to fear. The only thing to fear is God himself. And in Christ, his love takes away even that fear and makes it a relationship of love and connection. What a God we have. What a God we have. We want to be the church that Christ came to build. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. His church is victorious. His church is himself. It's his own body. And one of the things we should help each other remember and realize is that walking with Christ is walking in his body, his church. There's a reason he put us together. There's a reason he has us be united with each other. We've been talking recently about the correcting we do with one another, the assistance we give one another, how in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3, we learn that all in Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate or complete, equipped for every good work. We are not to unplug ourselves. We are not to separate ourselves. We are to unite ourselves. We are to be drawn together, not apart, in all of our differences. And we'll see that Romans 15 spends a lot of time talking about the difference between Jew and Gentile, among the most stark chasms in human life, that we have divisions among people all over the world, but in Christ, all of those are overcome. In Christ, we are united. In Christ, we are to be one. Being his body is such a treasure. So when you come to Christ, when you say, I'm a Christian, when you're baptized into Christ, and you come out of the water, and you are clothed with Christ, you are part of his body. He adds us to his body. And he brings us together. And one of the interesting things about that is we all still keep our odd personalities. We all still have our oddities. We all still have our opinions. We're all still right, and we're all still wrong somewhere. Anybody here doesn't need to grow? I desperately need to grow in Christ. I desperately need to change. I desperately need to be a man who looks and walks and talks and thinks more like Jesus. And so you're stuck. You have to put up with me. You give me advice. You give me rebuke. You give me correction. And sometimes I change a little bit, and sometimes I'm still making the same mistake. In Romans 15, we're given this phrase that we are to be able to instruct one another. Actually, that's not exactly what it says. It's Romans 15, 14. And now concerning you, my brothers and sisters, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and also able to admonish one another. Now, he's writing to the church in Rome. He's writing to Christians. He hasn't been able to visit that congregation, but he knows many of them personally, and he's had report after report about what's going on in the church in Rome. And of course, guided by the Holy Spirit, he writes this sentence. Paul writes this sentence. And concerning you, my brothers and sisters, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Now, I wrote the title of this, Instruct One Another, and that's the way the English Standard Version says it. This is the way the New American Standard Version says it, able to admonish one another, but instruction and admonishment are overlapping ideas and words. But notice where he comes out of this. We didn't read verse 13. Dave brought us through the beginning of the chapter. And he finished at verse 7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us. One of the tragic things that COVID did for us, besides it took some from among us, it confused the world in all kinds of different political and medical ways. But one of the things it did is it separated us. I think it's a blessing that many thousands and many millions of people can work from home now, people who are responsible and caring and competent workers for their own company or for their own office or whatever the relationship is. I think there's a lot of wonderful blessings that people have being able to work at home. But that same idea of being separated sort of has filtered into other parts of our lives. And feeling that coziness of your own home has a wonderful sense to it. But it's not the way Christ's church is supposed to work. This body is supposed to work with us being together. Which is why we get this verse that says, accept one another. Why do we get that admonishment? Because it's hard sometimes. Because we're odd people at times. Because we're not always easy to get along with. Because there are opinions and attitudes and there's immaturity in my life. And there's confusion and there's miscommunication. You ever miscommunicated with somebody? Daily? Hourly? I stopped listening to Carol at certain parts of our conversation because I know we're two rooms away from each other and she's saying something down the hall and I'm getting about every fourth word and that doesn't communicate very much. And so I say, just a second, which is means I'm not listening at the moment. As soon as I stop whatever I'm doing, I'll walk down the hall and I'll say, what was that you were saying, darling? It is not easy to get ideas from this brain into your brain. There's so many barriers. It's not easy to get intentions from my heart into your heart because we read things into each other's intentions. Oh, he didn't really mean that. You know what she's thinking. I mean, she has this attitude, da 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 da. Oh, man. We are to be a people who learn how to love through difficulties, who learn how to unite even when it's a whole lot easier to stay separate, who learn how to take what sounds like an insult and go back to the person and put your hand on their shoulders and say, can we talk? Because what it felt like when you said that was, and to clear up even the tiniest of divisions, not because we want happy relationships, not because we want happier lives, but because we are Christ's. And it is so critical. It is life and death critical that we learn to follow his word and to love and be united with one another. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us for the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm to the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God by his mercy. That's three times in just a few verses that glorifying God, bringing glory to God, has been brought together. This is to the glory of God. This is to the unity of Christ. This is to the purpose of his church to bring that magnificent salvation that Jeff explained to us a little bit ago. That we are the vehicle of salvation. That us being active and united and caring for one another is so much a part of his message. So, I said verse 13, haven't got back there yet. The passages in the middle here are Old Testament passages that talk about God's intention for the Gentiles, to the Gentiles, you Gentiles, etc. That Christ is coming for all people, not just the Jews. That's what those verses from 10 through 12 bring us to. But in verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the setup for the verse that we're focusing on today. This instruction of unity and sacrifice being brought in from verses 1 through 7 is now being built on, that God will fill you and me, will fill us with all joy and peace. Imagine having your life, just pick peace. Imagine your life, in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your days, that you are at peace. Imagine peace. It wouldn't matter who's president. It wouldn't matter what laws they're thinking about passing. It wouldn't matter what the price of gas was. It wouldn't matter if the car started or not. I was driving down the road the other day, and my little car spit a spark plug out the side of the engine. I've driven many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles, and I've never had that happen before. When you only have four cylinders and one spark plug went that way, the car doesn't run very well after that. But we can be people who live in, with, under peace. He says joy, all joy and peace in believing. It's not peace because your bank account's all of a sudden doing great. It's not peace because your neighbor has turned from a difficult person into a wonderful person, although I'm sure you all have wonderful neighbors, and you are wonderful neighbors. It's not peace because the cancer's gone. It's not peace because life's not difficult. It's peace because we are in Christ. It's peace in believing so that we, those things given to us by God, so that we will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And concerning you, verse 14, my brothers and sisters, I myself am convinced. And he makes this proclamation about them. God fills us with joy and peace and hope. Those are ours. They're yours. Tragedy happens. We don't skip down the sidewalk in Christ. But we are called to be people who walk in fundamental, seated, stable joy. We are people who are promised that in Christ we have peace. We are people who are to be able to abound in hope, all delivered to us by God, along with or by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing place to be. That's not for our lives to be these individual things hovering out there. We're not to be separate. You're not separate when you're in Christ. You are together when you're in Christ. You are in his body. Therefore, accept one another. This is a one another relationship. This is last week, as I said, we were talking about how to help each other in the dealings with the sins and the difficulties of our lives, realizing that the scripture is designed for that, to equip us to be able to do every good work, not to equip us to be happy people, not to equip us to be successful people or whatever the world thinks success is, but to equip us that whatever God has us do, we're able to do it. Whatever God needs us to do, we're people to do it. And in this case, in verse 15 now, he's convinced that you have goodness. I should be careful with this. The word you is used there. That they're filled with knowledge and that they're able to instruct. Notice what Paul didn't say. He didn't say every Christian is able. He didn't say, if you're in Christ, you're able to do this. That's not his words. What Paul did say was that you, pay attention to pronouns, always pay attention to pronouns in Scripture, because you, many, 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 many times doesn't mean you. And I don't mean to be flippant about that. It means you to who he's talking to. He's talking to the Christians. He's not talking to the preachers in the church in Rome. He's not talking to the elders in the church in Rome. He's talking to the Christians in the church in Rome. And therefore, it's on our pathway of maturity. It's on our pathway of growth. It's on our pathway of unity and the development of this body that we fit into the you. That we develop maturity and competence, that we are people who have that joy and peace and hope and goodness and knowledge, and that we are able to instruct one another. It's an interesting verse. We are supposed to be interconnecting our lives with each other. The encouragement, the assistance, the care. A brother or sister has a broken heart, we're alongside them. A brother or sister is falling again under some weight of difficulty in their lives. My paycheck came in and they took a bunch out again, and I don't have enough to pay for food this month. I can't pay my rent. My marriage is doing terrible. I'm discouraged. I want to quit. That we are able. And the reason the word in some places says admonish and other places says instruct, and in I think it's the Revised Standard Version, it says competent to counsel one another. That word is more than just teach. It's not just a teaching word. It means to put your mind on top of. It's a connecting of deeper thoughts. It's a connecting of deeper things. It's an inner connection of person to person assistance. Whether it's admonishing or instructing or counseling, it's a deeper thing than just giving somebody information. And he says, with this situation of joy and peace and hope, with people who know goodness and people who have a knowledge of the Word of God, that we are able to help one another. We sang a song a minute ago with this line in it: no one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. You know it's true, but people come in here and leave and don't feel like they belong. There are people who've been members here who don't feel like they belong. There are people who are sitting at home because there's been an insult or a division or a hurt or an insecurity that lingers and stays, who don't feel like they belong. We are to be a people who accept one another, who stand with one another, who cry with one another, who care with one another. And Romans 15 has this passion to it, this sacrificial cry to it, that we sacrifice our lives for each other. Parallel verses. Look at Colossians. I can't even read straight. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. So many things that Jeff said in his leading us in the Lord's Supper apply to these things. And one of them is that upside down aspect of what Christ has done to us is we rejoice in suffering. We rejoice in suffering. Paul and Silas are singing in prison after being beaten. God told the Israelites after their 40 years in the desert, he said, I let you get hungry. He didn't rescue them from the pain and the difficulty of wandering for 40 years. He let them feel and know the difficulties that were in their lives. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am supplementing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions in behalf of his body. Paul says, I'll take it. I don't mind suffering for you. I rejoice that I'm suffering for you, the body of Christ, which is the church. Verse 25, I was made a minister of this church according to the commission from God granted me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been made hidden in the past ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the wealth of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, the mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him admonishing every person and teaching every person with all wisdom, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. For this reason, I also labor, striving according to his power, which so mightily works in me. The goal, Paul's goal as a minister, our goal as a body, is that everyone here is growing in Christ. That's what Romans 15 is teaching us. So that we help each other mature and grow in Christ. It's not just the elder's responsibility. It's not just the teacher's responsibility. It's not just the preacher's responsibility. Those deliver care, guidance, information, but it's a one another responsibility that we help each other grow, and every part of the body is necessary. That we are able, we all are competent, we all have the information from his word and from life to help one another to grow. It's absolutely essential to have a healthy body, that we have interconnected relationships that help each other grow. And the world and Satan is looking to throw every rock and every difficulty in our pathway. We used this verse last week. We've talked about this verse many times, 1 Thessalonians 5. We urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Again, an instruction not to a preacher, but to the whole body, that we know each other and trust each other and are interconnected deeply enough so that you'll grab a guy or a brother or a sister back from the edge of stepping off a cliff to say, whoa, don't, no. Let me help. Let's talk. We admonish those who are making mistakes, who are living unruly lives. We encourage those who are pulling back. It's too hard. I don't know. I'm so discouraged. Let's walk together. Let's have coffee. Let's meet. Can you come over? How about if I come over to your house? Let's be together. We encourage those who are feeling faint in their hearts. And the weak, we help. We help. We belong to each other. We are family with each other. And this is so critical to the cause of Christ. Church to me growing up, this is just a passionate transition. Church to me growing up was a place, I'm still stuck with the tie and the shirt and the jacket. You gotta have to deal with that. But from a little guy, I had a jacket and a shirt and a tie on. And you went and you sat down and you sang what you were supposed to sing, and you bowed your head when somebody was up there saying a prayer, and you sat still if you could while the guy was talking, and you shook somebody's hand and went out the door and went home again. And then you lived your life and whatever your life was, and then the next Sunday you got up and put the tie and the shirt and the jacket on again, and you did it again. Church was a place you went to. Church was a thing you endured while you listened. And I didn't mind it. I was with my family. My dad was sitting right there. He used to let me doodle on his bulletin. But it wasn't a relationship. It wasn't a family. It wasn't until I was 20 and baptized into Christ and I said, this is not what I was taught. This interconnected relationship was very little about what I had learned about. That we are an interconnected family, and we are intended to be together. It does not work with us being separated. You cannot do Christ from home. You might be able to work from home. You might be able to telecommute, but you can't telecommute church relationships. We need each other. We need to be interconnected. Verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 5. See to it that no one repays another evil for evil. Isn't that interesting? It didn't say, make sure you don't repay evil for evil, although the Bible does say that. It says, see to it that no one repays evil for evil, which means you got to be pretty close to people to be aware of that. But always seek what is good for one another and for all people. And then, of course, our favorite verses, rejoice always, verse 16. Pray without ceasing, verse 17. In everything give thanks, verse 18. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That one another instruction we're to give, it's information in righteousness. What's good and what's not good. It's instruction in righteousness. It's instruction in doctrine. What's the church supposed to do? How are we supposed to be organized? How are we supposed to walk? How are we supposed to live? What does the church, how does the church meet? It's instruction in relationships, those sacrificial, serving, caring relationships. And are relationships hard? Anybody have a bunch of easy relationships? Relationships are hard. They're hard in every direction. And they are hard in the relationships in this room, which is why we never quit. We want to stay home sometimes. Some things are, but we don't. Not because of us, but because of Christ. And because salvation is found only in Him. And any division we participate in will hurt not only ourselves and the person we're divided with, but it'll hurt anybody who sees us. Relationships are life and death issues, not because they can't be forgiven, but because they affect people's faith and they affect people's fellowship and they can discourage people to give up on Christ, which affects our faith. That interconnection we're to have is a very specific, determined pathway. We're to be instructing people. There's a word for this interconnectedness. There's a word for this. And it's called, the Greek word is called koinonia. Koinonia. Try saying that. Let's say it together. Koinonia. One more time. Koinonia. It's most often translated as fellowship. It's given to us first for the church in Acts chapter 2, and we'll look at that, and then we'll wrap up the lesson. We have more, of course. I cut this lesson was this long. I cut it this long, and then last night I cut it this long, and I still have too much. Amen. Thank you. Acts chapter 2. Verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized. So this, of course, is immediately after Peter had spoken to the thousands of people who were paying attention when the Holy Spirit came on the 12 only, on the apostles, and provided the miracle of languages. Peter stands up and gives that beautiful sermon we can read in the rest of chapter 2. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day, interesting words, were added, passive voice, passive verb. God added them. They didn't add themselves. God added them. They were added that day about 3,000 souls. Added to what? Added to Christ. Added to his church. They became the body of Christ. They were added to the body of Christ, the church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. That's koinonia. They devoted themselves. The very first thing that the Christians did, the very first Christians, they were followers of Christ before this, but there was nobody in Christ before this. This is the first time anybody could experience what Jeff read to us, that transition from sin to righteousness. Jesus took on all sin by his righteousness, and he gave those who were sin to be righteousness. We transition from being people overcome and guilty of and covered with sin to be people being overcome and forgiven of sin and covered in righteousness. It's an amazing transformation. This is people who were finally in fellowship, in koinonia. The first thing they were devoted to is what they taught. We have the apostles' teachings here in the New Testament in this book, which is why we pay so much attention to these letters, so that we can be devoted to the same thing they were devoted in. Devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to the fellowship, the body of believers. Devoted to the breaking of the bread, and that's the Lord's Supper. They were devoted to the coming together on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper, and they were devoted to the prayers. All four of those have the definite article "the" in front of them. The one has it twice. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of the bread. And they were devoted to the prayers. They were devoted to the very specific things that we are called to be as those who walk in Christ. I'd like to take another lesson and look at what it means to participate in koinonia, because even the Lord's Supper is a description of koinonia for us. Romans 12 has a description of koinonia, but we're not going to be able to do that. 1 Corinthians 10 is a description of koinonia. But Romans 12 has this set of verses in it, that we are members of one another. We'll have to cover that in another lesson. We are members of one another. Therefore, be devoted to one another, competent to admonish and teach one another. Very first thing the first Christians did is they devoted themselves to the walking in Christ and to the fellowship, to the oneness of the body. Let us be and continue to grow to be that body that he needs us to be. It is such a joy to walk in Christ. He gives us joy, remember, and peace and hope. Gives us all goodness and knowledge so that we're mature and able to walk with one another and help one another. If there's any here today who have not been baptized into Christ, if you're ready for that or you have any other need that you can let us know about, please come forward while we stand and sing the song selected.